Welcome to Twisted Plot Podcast. Here is your host, Evelyn Marley.
Hey there, just a reminder, the views and thoughts shared by our hosts and guests are their own, not necessarily reflecting the podcast, its creators, or sponsors. Take it all in, but always form your own opinions and engage your critical thinking muscles. And hey, remember, this is all for entertainment purposes only. If you need medical or professional help, please seek it out immediately. Ready to dive into today's episode? Let's get twisted.
So there's two faces to Landmark. There's the external, like the product, and there's a lot of value. People get a lot of value from that product. There's, I'm kind of taking it apart now. There's some things I think about it that could be a little dangerous, but you definitely need to be a critical thinker, an awake thinker, and you'll get a lot of value because you'll know what parts to leave and what to keep.
Yeah.
But there's the product, and then there's the organization, which at one time was 44 offices all over the world, over 400 employees pretty consistently since the mid-90s, between 400 and 600 employees. And that's employees. They have all these weird distinctions around employees. And then you add to that several hundred program leaders at any given time. And then at the height, the only time I heard numbers on the assisting program is it was somewhere between 40,000 and 70,000 people volunteering.
That's like astonishing.
Yeah. So that's a pretty big organization, really, right? And so the Est left the public scene, but it went inside. And it went inside, many of us that joined the organization in 1995, after the turnover to the brother and sister, to the employee. And we were told that that was all gone. That was all over. You know, the Est stringent, you know, all the kind of scary stories that you would hear about Est that, like, you know, the Landmark form was the kinder, gentler S, which has some truth to it because it had to conform or it wouldn't have stayed alive. Like,
right.
Werner's very shrewd. These are very shrewd people, and in some ways, and very silly and dumb in others, in my opinion, for your lawyers listening.
Well, what's interesting too, when I think about the transformation of Est, the evolution of Est, right? Because that's really what
perfect word.
What happened? Because I was talking to my mom. I told her I'm going to go and interview in Peterson, and I told her your story, and she said, "Oh, I went to an Est training." And so she's 81 now. My dad, he was 83. He went. Her ex-husband went as well. So Est, back in its heyday, was everywhere. And if for anybody listening, ask somebody about Est because I'm pretty sure there was, like, I don't know the statistic, but at least one in maybe five people had heard about Est or knew about that movement at that time, right?
Yeah, it was huge. I mean, it was like Tony Robbins before there was Tony Robbins, right? I mean, they were filling huge stadiums. They were, you know, it was a huge deal. It was the beginning of the commercialization of self-help, honestly. And, you know, and Werner's, he's handsome, you know, at the time he's charismatic. And, you know, he's like, you know, I've spent a lot of time with him. You know, he gets in front, he's a strong presence. He's a powerful presence. He's like intervening on your thinking. And, you know, and there's a certain level of that, like, it feels good. And, and yeah, it was my dad when I did the forum. And of course, I call him up and I'm like, "Dad, I just did this thing, the Landmark Forum. And, you know, I'd love for you to come to my evening session," because that's a big part of it. That's one of the exploitive practices, I believe, is kind of hanging your transformation on your ability to enroll others. And again, I don't think Landmark is entirely unique in that practice, but they're very intense about it, let's just say.
Yeah.
And, my dad was so funny. He goes, "Oh, I did Est." And I said, "What's Est?" And he goes, "No, Est." He goes, "That's the Werner stuff, right?" He goes, "Yeah, I did that." He goes, "That was good stuff."
Just like
that. And it was funny. And my dad, he's like, "That's good stuff." he didn't come to that evening session, but he did come to one later when I was leading. And, you know, he was very supportive. My mom was a born again Christian, so she was coming to protect me from the cult. Mm. But then she gets involved with another group called Context, which is a spinoff. And she gets super involved in that, actually. And, it was really interesting.
Is that like a choice program? Is that like Choice, Context, or something like that? Similar?
I didn't know that much about it. I just knew its basic structure was the same. Like, okay. It had three core programs in its curriculum, and it was about who you were being and being able to take response. It's the same distinctions. Mm-hmm. The same basic ideas are molded in each one of these. Sarah and I are... I'm talking to Sarah. I'm like, Sarah of Edmondson of A Little Bit Culty. I'm like, we need to write a book. Maybe we can get Leah Remini to do it with us. Scientology.
Oh my gosh, yes.
But that goes through these ideas and like where's their origination? Because a lot of them come from Eastern spiritual things and they're really rich. But they got co-opted, turned into these as Lifton, and I heard it from Rick Allen Ross, but it's a Lifton quote, turned into thought terminating cliches, like these little quickie. Context is decisive. That's the one I'm currently on a war against. And which makes me crazy. But it gets turned into these like cliches that provide some nuggets. But also if you don't understand the dark side, you can get into real trouble.
I'm so glad you guys are going to write that book. Because let me tell you, I went on a rabbit hole with... I was just laying in bed and I was thinking, you know, Tony Robbins, where did he get his stuff? Where did that stuff come from? And then I went and he got it from Jim Rohn. Where did Jim Rohn get it from? Well, he got it from, I can't even remember his name, but who did he get it from? And then who did he get it from? Because this is passed down, right? This is information evolved and passed down. And like you said, coming up with these new, what is it you said? Thought terminating cliches. And I got to, you know, this book called...
What'd you get to?
The Emerald Tablet, Alchemy for Personal Transformation. And it's based on...
Whoa.
Yeah.
Okay. So look it up.
And I bought it because I wanted to know more, but it has a lot of that same ontological ideas inside. And basically, it's this idea that these emerald tablets were dug up in... you know, some archaeological place, and there's a lot to it. But the point is that if someone who has an experience, a positive experience, going to one of these group awareness trainings comes out, they're like, my life has changed. I feel so good. And people are like, what did you do different? You look great. They're like, I took this training. I feel so good. They're going to see that and they're going to be so attracted to it, especially if they're feeling some kind of way about themselves and are looking for something like that. Rarely is someone going to do deep dive research onto where the origins of something like this comes from. What was the evolution about it? Where did it stem from? Who is the person who actually created this, right? No one's going to do that. And I think what I see moving forward with TikTok and like Instagram and all these other places is the regurgitation of information, which sounds and feels good. It sounds and feels really great, but no one's taking the time to find out where it's coming from. And so their critical thinking skills are just being, because it takes too much time and we don't have time to do the research. If it sounds like it's coming from an expert, it must be coming from an expert.
Well, which is part of, I love one of the Seek Safely principles, which we're going to be lighting up a class here pretty soon.
Yes.
To go through these and actually look at, well, what does that really look at, that principle, that item look like in practice? And mm-hmm. So one of the things is that you're going to kind of give credit where credit is due. Mm-hmm. You're going to say, hey, and I love the way I'm now working. Actually, I'm doing some work with Carrie Granger again. She and I have reconnected and I'm very excited to be doing some ontological leadership based work with her and organizations. And, you know, and she and I have stayed friends, of course, through the years and stayed connected, but it's neat to be kind of diving back into her world a little bit. And she's at her heart, she is an academic. Like if she could just sit around and study this stuff all day long, she would. And she does actually quite a bit. And, but you know, it's like one acknowledging like, oh, we're going to pull a little bit from this and we're going to pull a little bit from that.
Yes.
I participate in the Diamond Approach, which is a spiritual school. And it's a spiritual training path. And what I love about them is you go to a retreat and they're like, oh, this retreat, we're going to be pulling on a little bit of the Enneagram work and some St. John the Baptist and some psychology and some Sufism and, you know, and then they bring that together into a unique discussion, and you have the, you know, whatever experience goes with that discussion. But there's no pretending that this universal knowledge is mine.
Right.
That I can bottle it and sell it. The other thing that I've come to understand is we didn't learn critical thinking. And groups like this kind of take over. They tell you they're going to teach you to be a critical thinker. This is one thing that Sarah showed with me. It was a big deal in Nexium. It was less so in Landmark, but it's still there. When you start a program, they say, don't believe anything we say.
Yeah.
Don't believe anything we say. It's all a perspective. It's which I think that's true. But then when you get to the end and you've had this fantastic experience, but the source of that experience was us and everything we said. And, you know, and now you need to share that. So there's the commodification of self-help, I think, has created a lot of problems and some unintended ones. And then there are definitely bad actors. I mean, Werner is absolutely in the game to get rich and famous. I'm totally my opinion, but I have a lot of evidence for that opinion. And but that's what I'm saying. We're not going to stop that. But what we can do is start to educate ourselves about what we're looking at, so we know how to kind of separate the chaff from the grain. And the main thing is, I don't even know, like the Emerald Tablets, I just looked that up. Is it that? Is it, you know, Rumi? Is it Heidegger? Is it Freud? Is it, you know, all these people have added to our collective knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty cool. But so how can we now traffic that safely? That's the question I'm pretty obsessed with. And right now I'm at the stage of looking at what doesn't work in order to start to see what maybe could. And I think I probably will be in that for a while, you know, a year or two before I really have something really, you know, codified to fully pull together. But I can start to see some clues. Don't take credit for other people's work.
Oh, yeah. No.
First of all, you just don't need to. There's no reason to. It doesn't help your sales.
Mm-mm.
That's a myth. And so there's things like that that really take apart. But yeah, a lot's happened since the book got published too. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I have a question for you about, because you said, how can we traffic it into like a safe space for people to do it? And so I'm curious as to whether you think the danger lies into when people wrap their identity. And I talked to my mom a little bit about this, because she went to ask, she went two times. She's like, not for me, right? They just, they really are trying to get my money. I feel like I don't understand what they're saying. And I feel like they're just trying. So she left. She didn't go back. My dad went to one and he said, they broke someone open in front of me. Like, the person was a mess. They were crying. And I felt so bad for them, because it didn't seem like there were anybody to kind of help them through that. And so he's like, I didn't go back. And so, coming from two parents who very much were not religious, they didn't have big group. They never did any group there. I don't remember any strong belief or identity into any group think anything.
Gotcha.
I had Mormon friends growing up. And so I hung out with my Mormons and they were great. They were really sweet. And I never felt compelled to join the Mormon religion. That was never. And I personally still feel like I never was a part of any type of group, right? I never really attached myself to any group. And so I told my mom, I said, I wonder if this is kind of like passed down generationally, where we just kind of have this identity where we don't tie our identity to these groups. And what happens to someone when they do tie their identity to the group? Because as a social structure, we want to be a part of something. We do want to be a part of something. And so what is a safe way for people to participate in something they believe in a group setting, where they can detach themselves from fully identifying as the group, right? Does that make sense? What I'm saying?
Yeah, I think there's a whole bunch of pieces in there. It's really great what you're saying. I mean, I just think you're just right on the place for us to look. And I don't think there's a necessarily quick or easy answer. Mm-mm. But, you mm-hmm. know, so clearly, you know, you were raised in a healthy family with two pretty healthy parents. I mean, it's not, I'm sure they're human. And
they were human and had their things, but for
they
that
had
part,
all their
yeah.
things. Yeah. yeah. But for that, you know, they were, and that's, you know, not the case for a lot of people. So they're not, I think we grow up, the majority of us honestly grow up without really learning about our own inner compass, mm-hmm. like without learning about like, oh, I don't have to join a thing. Like a lot of us, I grew up in the, my mom was a born again Christian. My dad was like a crazy party animal. Mm-hmm. So I had these like
two polar opposites.
Polar opposites. They were separated when I was like 2.5.
Oh
you
my
know?
Gosh.
And,
yeah.
And, you know, and it, that was confusing for me and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And, my mom, I always joke, like, I actually loved my version of Christianity I grew up in was my joke is it's the Tammy Vay version, which is Jesus loves you, don't
yeah.
you know? You know,
yeah.
like that's when I watched the Tammy Vay movie a couple of years ago, I was like, oh my God, that was a church I grew up in, was her perspective, which is where she got to in the end anyway,
yeah.
which was like just Jesus. And now I'm a Mary Magdalene fanatic. I love her. Maggie Watterson's work on in our little goddess community I started, like that's required reading is her Mary Magdalene revealed. But it takes time and a journey for us to develop our sense of self
mm-hmm.
and then to develop confidence in our sense of self and then to be able to change and be malleable with our sense of self. So that's a lifetime journey.
Truly.
That not even everybody goes on.
Yeah.
But I think, so that's an important component is that being, you know, working with a leader, a teacher, somebody that really is constantly reflecting back you on you. Like,
yeah.
not in a judging way, not in a like, I can see what you need to transform in order to have what you want in life. Like, no, they can't see something that you can't see.
Mm-hmm.
That's not actually a thing. That's one of the tricks. That's one of the sleights of hands in
yeah.
work like Landmarks. And, so it's starting to hear that and go, hey, no, nobody knows me better than me.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody. And doing the personal work that you need to do so that you have that love and trust in yourself. Like that's, you know, I started this little goddess living community and that's really what that was about was like, I mean, it took me a few years to figure out what it was about, but I now am really clear. That's what that's about is like really learning to love ourselves and to trust ourselves and to listen to our intuition. And then there the egoic part you brought up, which is the other side. So we all have an ego structure,
mm-hmm.
right? That's a Freudian.
Oh yeah.
Distinction. It's very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad to have an ego.
Nope.
We wouldn't be here if we didn't have an ego. But I do think it is important over our lives to learn how to hear when that egoic structure is chiming in
yes.
versus that what I relate to more is my soul, myself. So, and we teach this a lot in the goddess work too. It's like, well, it's pretty easy. Here you can tell it's the ego structure talking in your head. You know, kind of that self-talk is because it's probably mean
mm-hmm.
or it's critical or it's diminishing in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Your soul, yourself, your essence, whatever you want to relate to that, you like the, in Landmark, we used to talk about the big self versus the little self. Right?
Oh yeah.
That's loving as kind, or maybe a matter of fact, like sometimes I'll hear something, you know, I'll walk by and go, oh, that glass is going to fall on the floor. You know, like, and I did this experiment for a while to this like just calm voice that would kind of give me little warnings about stuff. Sure enough, when I didn't pay attention, you know, what would happen?
Mm-hmm.
That was my intuition, my inner sense, my, there's so much of our brain that's active that we're not aware of. You know, they say consciousness is less than 2%.
Mm.
So what's going on with the other 98%?
Right.
So... And the goal isn't to get the 98% into the 2%. Like that would overload your circuits. Like that's not,
mm-hmm.
that's not viable for the human brain. That's not the goal. So I think there's a thing about developing our inner knowing, trusting it. And there's some shortcuts to that, which is have really good friends that you empower to tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You got to foster that, you know, because I watched Werner, you know, Mike Jensen and Cary Grainger both were people who would kind of like, he was much better when they were on the team because they challenged him. They, you know, they brought in kind of outside thought, and he allowed that. I think he liked it even. I mean, he appreciated that, but he's so organized around the control. He's going to control everything.
Interesting.
And if he wasn't going to control it directly, one of his minions are going to come and make sure it is. So, you know, one of his apparatus, there's a whole apparatus around people like that, that is doing a lot of the dirty work.
Mm.
Especially if you're dealing with a narcissist who is making their fame, their fortune on their charisma, you got to have somebody who's going to do the dirty work. And you see this in all of the sets. You know, Osho had Sheila, right? Like there's pairs. Yeah. That's part of the thing.
That's like good cop, bad cop.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Right? Most fundamental thing. Mom, dad.
Yeah. Oh, right? My gosh. Gosh.
So in the end, it's really is up to us, and we got to do our work, and we're going to step in it. Like, we're going to do it wrong. Like, I think we got to have grace for ourselves. I've spent a lot of the last 3 years in, you know, doing some deep self-forgiveness for just not knowing. Cause, you know, as soon as we see something, and it seems so obvious, we're like, how could I have not seen that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when these staff members came to me and started telling me about being physically assaulted, I was like, what? But what was there for me immediately was the two times I had had the thought, is he physically harming them? Because I saw a lot of verbal abuse, right? So I was like, you know, and there was a whole story around why that was. But then I dismissed it because I was like, well, that's not, no. Like, this is the father of transformation, of human potential, of possibility. And that's a thing. Mark Vicente is doing some really great work right now on narcissism. And he's about to put a movie out that I just cannot wait for.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah, it's really exciting because he got five narcissists to like really talk to him.
Wow.
About the strategies and techniques for relating that they use. And one of the things, as we've been studying and understanding more about malignant narcissism, right? All humans are narcissistic by design to a certain extent. We do think we are the center of the universe. Yeah. And we are. We're the center of our
universe.
But he said that what we do is we project, you know, we're all projecting onto others. So if I have a value of compassion, of empathy, of making a difference, those are my values. That's what I'm projecting on the world. So, and there are people who know how to use that.
Yeah.
So part of it is me being responsible for, okay, I am a difference maker. Okay. I do want to be idealistic and I kind of like being a little naive even. All right. So now what am I going to set up to support that? Okay. Well, my best friend is like totally cynical and completely skeptical. She's an attorney. And so I run everything by her.
I have one too. I have an attorney friend who I do the same with.
Yeah. So I think that there's a bunch of pieces in there and it's learning. And then when we do it wrong and we see that, we kind of got to go, okay, wow. You know?
Yeah.
I can have some grace for myself that I didn't, funny, it's a landmark thing. Didn't know what I didn't know, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And okay.
Yeah. That brings me to the grace point about what happens after someone kind of realizes, you know, they've been in this and complacent with what they were experiencing. How do they give themselves grace moving out of this and not kind of live in the shame, blame, identity of like, oh my gosh, I contributed to that, or what did I do, or how could I have done something different? Because I know I experienced that, and I know that looking back, a lot of it was when I would hear something, it was like, I'm just pushing you to be your best self. Like, I need to push you to be your best self. And it's like,
yeah.
Oh, well, they're doing it for my benefit. So I guess it makes sense.
Right. See, right there, you just turned yourself over.
Yeah.
That's the same. So part of it for me is like learning what those sound like, like those internal monologues sound like, and kind of like starting to kind of put a red flag on those. Like,
oh, it's rationalization. It's bargaining. It's
Well, and Go Along to Get Along. Yeah. That was a big one for me. Well, I'm okay. Nobody's getting hurt. Wrong. I didn't know they were, but I did think that. Like, nobody's getting hurt. It seems weird to me, but I've got way more important things over here. So I'm going to go along to get along. Right. Yeah. Like, and now I've got me in. If I'm telling myself go along to get along, I literally, like, my whole body goes, ooh, stop.
Contracts. Yeah. Wow. Okay.
And I think I was talking with somebody today who, you know, was a center manager in Landmark, which is probably one of the harshest positions to be in because you're accountable for the results in the primary money-making apparatus that is Landmark, which is the Landmark Forum sales. And so you're accountable for that, and as well as everything else under the sun. And so it's one of the most intense positions you can be in. Yeah. And I was talking with him and, you know, this person's like kind of come out of this. They've read my book, reached out to me right away. I know them well. This person was in courses that I led back in the day and just is a really extraordinary human. And he's just like, you know, and he's just digested everything as fast as he can. He's like, watch The Vow. He's listened to all the podcasts. He's like, ooh. And I said to him today, I said, slow down.
Yeah.
Slow down. Because one of the things that we were taught inside of human potential, go, and I think patriarchy has created this, you know, perform. All the emphasis in most of our adult lives has been about performance and productivity.
Yep.
Well, you know what? Can I swear on this podcast?
100%.
Fuck performance and fuck productivity. The time is over. Like, I am so, and I look, I was good, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't have regrets, but I now at 55, I'm kind of like, let's see, that got me adrenal burnout. Mm-hmm. I missed huge parts of my children's growing up. My relationship with my husband, we've been married 25 years this year. And, you know, we didn't even live together really till the pandemic. And 23 years, somebody was coming and going, somebody was leading something or whatever, or making the money. Cause I always had it. We had it wired in our partnership. Somebody could be making it. One of us could be making a difference, changing the world. The other one would be making the money to support the one changing the world.
Right.
So we were, you know, ships in the night. And it was in the pandemic, we had to learn how to really be married and be in a relationship. Yeah. And you know what? We got that from a relationship therapist, not from a self-help course.
Wow.
That's the other thing.
Yeah. Like,
you know, you got to go to the tool that's designed for that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and not that all of our, you know, distinction and stuff didn't make a difference at different times, but it's kind of like, imagine building a house, but all you have is a Phillips screwdriver.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a funny looking house.
Yeah.
And that's another one of my, like, how to stay out of the mess is like, don't be engaged in just one growing and developing thing. Like, don't.
Amen.
You know, and look for the thing that has science-based, substantiated evidence behind your thing. So anyway, yeah, last question.
Also be aware of, like, people who are claiming science that is not science-based, because I think a lot of people are coming out of the woodwork saying this is science-based, and it's like, okay, let me dig a little deeper, because just a little, just spend an extra time on it just to check and fact check and see if it is really science-based, because it goes back to that information out
there. And then
there.
Even look at the science for yourself. So, like, I'm an avid New York Times reader, right? Yeah. So I go back and forth between the Washington Post, New York Times, sometimes the Wall Street Journal. Like, I change my subscriptions now and then.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things I always do is, even when they're telling a story, and I do that because I have a strong belief in investigative, true journalism. I don't think you can have a free society without a free press. But you got to have a free press that's operating with certain ethics.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, those have been undermined and diminished. But why get those papers in Financial Times, any kind of, like, maybe now we'd call it old school journalism. But they, when you're reading it, you can click the link and you can actually see the study that they're citing. And even in that, like, I've had a number of times where I'm like, hey, New York Times, you got that headline wrong. Like, that was, you know, go read that thing. And you don't have to read the whole thing, but you can read enough to kind of go, okay, and decide and and what is really the thing. And that's why we have to go back and actually learn real critical thinking.
Yes.
Sarah Nippy did a podcast with a woman who wrote a book for parents about how to raise critical thinking children. I wish I could think of the name of the book. I put it on my get to it list because I'm like, I know I'm 55, but can somebody raise me? Because I realized like listening to her that what I had been taught is critical thinking, right? We started to say that a little bit before, like to suspend everything and then examine it. And, you know, we used to say in the Being a Leader course, what are your how buts? Yeah, but what ifs? Let me tell you, man, they had a design answer for anything you were to say. And if you brought up something that didn't fit in the lexicon, like spirituality, like we had somebody leave the course once because in a conversation about leadership, they said, well, I believe strongly in servant leadership. And the leaders were saying, well, there's no such thing as servant leadership. And they were kind of trying to break them down. And he was like, F you, like, no. And he left, which that was great. That was a healthy person because he wasn't going to have that.
Go against his beliefs.
Yeah, well, being told to suspend all your beliefs, to suspend, in Landmark, they call it what's going on with you internally, to suspend your emotions, to suspend that. Anybody who tells you to suspend that, that's a big red flag. Alert, alert, alert. Because critical thinking does not require the suspension.
Agree.
Right? It's like, oh, wait, no, okay, well, I've heard this before. But it does require curiosity and it requires questions and it like that. So an engagement. And, you know, you're right. Like, we don't have a lot of time. So.
But it's worth your time. It's worth it.
It's worth your time.
We promise. Yeah. Like, it is definitely worth it to take the extra step. So thank you so much.
Well, especially if you're going to invest resources. So resources are time or money, right? So just if you're going to invest time or money, do your research and look, there's things that I would participate in that even now there's like some questionable Like, you know, Tony Robbins has lots of great book points in his books. Yeah. Tony Robbins has a bunch of sexual harassment complaints. Like, we have to be able to hold the two things.
And very important.
Not just cancel everything out. I have a partnership with a retreat center that's a Taoist retreat center that has a leader who's I did a whole bunch of research on him. The only thing I can find is some sexual harassment things back in the 80s or early 90s. And kind of like, okay, well, you know, and that got cleaned up and everybody's happy and fine. And, you know, people can come and go from their Taoist center and there's no indoctrination to believe anything. There's nothing actually.
Yeah.
So I host events there. In fact, I'm going to host a healing event there in September.
That's exciting. Yeah. People. Tell us what you got going on, please. I want to share how people can connect with you. I know you have you've cultivated a beautiful program that I want people to know about. Cause if they're going to start exploring and doing personal development or working on things that they have come up for them, where could they land in terms of finding
more?
Well,
right now, so there's a couple of things we're doing. So Illuminate Life. So that's the URL, illuminate.life. And you'll probably put that in your show notes because it's spelled funny. I had an artiste come up with how to spell it. And it's very cool. It's very artistic, but it's very confusing. But there we're out to actually evolve a learning hub, a kind of marketplace for practitioners who commit to safe seeking practices. Mm-hmm. And we're at the very, very, very beginning. In fact, I kind of was down the learning hub road, but I just like really saw working a lot with Ginny Brown and Jean Brown of Seek Safely, like how to really dedicate it to that. And and it's right now it's just me and my assistant. So we're working slow. So have patience. But to get on that list, because that's really where that's where we'll disseminate things out from. And but we are creating a program right now for practitioners that we're going to be launching. Hopefully I have a call tomorrow with my tech guy. Did he get it all set up? But we're going to be launching a pilot program for practitioners who want to, you know, just really learn, okay, I got it. I'm committed to being a safe practitioner, but what does that mean when I got to come up with a transfer refund policy? You know, what does that mean when I'm trying to set up a coaching program and, you know, and given people will very easily turn themselves over to you, like they'll turn them. So okay, well, how do I reflect that back and you know, kind of guide that safely? Like, so those are the kind of questions we're going to be asking, and that's for practitioners. And then we're also developing some groups and some resources for consumers in partnership with Seek Safely and a little bit culty, like how to really keep educating ourselves. And the biggest thing I got to say to people is just take your time, slow down. There, in the terms of personal growth and development, you're doing great. Yeah. You don't, there's no place that you have to get to in a hurry. And if you do, probably personal growth and development isn't the place. You need to go to the police because you're in an emergency. You need to go to the doctor because you, you know, are healthcare practitioners. Like if you're feeling in an emergency, you need to go to people who are, have the resources to help handle that emergency. That was another big place. The assisting program took people awry because they would come assist. But what they really needed was to be like working with a homelessness, like literally we would have homeless people want to volunteer, you know, so they feel like they have some purpose and some grounding. Well, that's beautiful, but there's nothing in that program that's going to help them get from homeless to home. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're in an emergency, if there really is something urgent, go to the people, the resources, they are there. If you look around, there's, you know, community services, they are there.
Yeah.
Go there. Don't go to, I need to somehow develop myself so I'm not a clearing for homelessness or abusive relationships or whatever. Like, that's not what personal development is for. So that's another big thing.
Thank you.
That's what we're out to educate. And yeah, right now I launched this book. I kind of knew that was going to be like, I wanted to point at the Seeking Safely as a future for self-development. And now we're just running like mad to kind of get some structures and stuff and find our partners and collaborators to play with. And
excellent.
Yeah, that's a big place.
And I'll have the Seek Safely org in the show notes as well, as you know, so that way people can look into that along with Anne's information. And thank you so much for standing up for, first of all, you.
Thanks.
First of all, you, because if you don't stand up for you and like put that oxygen mask on, and I know that's an analogy that everybody uses, but it's so true, like to give yourself space to breathe in air that you can see is real. And so thank you so much for coming out and sharing your story.
Can I say a little something about that? Because I just thought of it when you said that is, it looks like when you read my book, which I wrote in Thanksgiving, but it's a culmination of a 3-year journey.
And
most of that 3 years was spent struggling with, I know this stuff, it's bad. And I experienced this stuff and it was good. I experienced great value. I got a lot. I think I made a difference. You know, I've had literally, thank God bless all of them, hundreds of ex-participants contact me and say, I want you to know, like, you were a great leader. Like, you made a huge difference for me. So that was true. But it was also true that there was all this abuse and exploitation.
Yeah.
And it wasn't easy. Like, Nippy even asked me about it. He's like, what's your wake-up moment? I said, well, there's more like the first time you get cold water in the face. And then it's like years of wake-up moment. And I just want to speak to that because, and then ultimately I just, you know, for whatever reason, I'm the kind of person who couldn't walk by the trash. Like that's, there's a reason that's the title of my last chapter, but I kept waiting for somebody else. I thought the people who were directly victims of his abuse, you know, there's things they've been doing to try to be able to speak up. They've been quashed. I didn't think I was going to be the person speaking up, but I did get to a place where I just couldn't live with it anymore.
Yeah.
As a secret. Like in holding those secrets, I was complicit. Mm-hmm. And so I just kind of want to share that little bit really explicitly because there's people out there listening that may be in that spot. And it's a tough spot because you don't, you know, once you talk to the authorities or whatever, then it's like, now what do I do? Yeah. So we're actually looking to create some structures. I was just talking with Jess over a little bit culty. We're going to create add a page on my book website, isthisoccultbook.com. We're going to add a page on there where people can start telling their stories and they can elect if they want that story to be told. Do they want it to be, you know, do they want to say it anonymously? Do they want coaching about how to say it themselves? Like, We that's need to huge. Start speaking up because that's when we get ourselves back. So, but it's a long journey and it's one that should be taken carefully and with time and with a lot of love for yourself, but it's not easy. So I know there's people listening that are probably in somewhere in that journey. And
go slow, like you said, right? Like that's such great advice to go slow. I went pretty fast when I unraveled. And so it's led me here. And I'm so thankful because I can breathe now. I can breathe a big sigh of relief because I didn't want to discard all my personal development, all the stuff that I've learned. I still wanted to take what worked for me and leave the rest and hold two things at once and understand that, give myself grace for the experience and what I did learn, but not participate in anything that went against my values. And I know myself. I know myself really well. And I'm like, I got to walk away.
That's the key right there. Don't do anything that goes against your values. And you know, sometimes we don't know it's going against our values, but we can always look and say, who's benefiting from this?
Yeah.
And am I benefiting? Like I saw an assistant. Yeah, I benefited. I got a lot of training and stuff. But what's it costing me? Like I didn't really do a proper cost benefit analysis to really see that. And honestly, if you'd told me how, I still might've come down the way I did. Like making that kind of difference was pretty heady. And it cost my daughter, particularly my daughter who was the youngest when I was involved, but it costs her a lot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't have an exactly like regret, but you know, kind of like, do I regret that happened? Sure.
Yeah.
Have I forgiven myself? Yes. Has she forgiven me? Have I forgiven her? Yes. But that's 10 years of therapeutic work.
Yeah.
With some big experts. So,
well, and you have access to that, which is really important to know.
Right.
Not only just access, but you can meet each other where you are. I think that's really important in that present moment to decide what you want to do moving forward. And so that's
beautiful.
Yeah, it's huge. Oh, thank you so much. I really want to have you on again because just talking about all of this, I have a lot more things that came up for what I think could be really good podcasts in the future, just to help people have more tools for that critical thinking piece and moving forward. And I'm excited to participate in the Seek Safely. I signed the Seek Safely promise, y'all. Like I am in it because it is something that I'm really excited to see grow, expand. And as the layers get pulled back on personal development, we're going to want to find a place to grow and get our personal development in a way that's ethical.
Yes, exactly.
So, all right. Well, thank you so much, Ken.
Do you have
your website that you said? Can anybody find you on Instagram? Do you have your Instagram?
They can find me there. I have both Illuminate Life and Goddess Living and Anne L. Peterson. Those are
excellent.
All. So when you see any of those, it's kind of me, you know, in the background of that. But in my book, it'd be great to put in the isthisacultbook.com because that kind of shoots off to everything, right?
Perfect.
So, that's a great, and we're going to build that out. We're going to keep building that up with resources and things like that. So, because I think we got to take our time really learning about the dark side of enlightenment before we can, you know, we'll start doing things to nurture the light side right away. But we got to learn. We got to educate ourselves, and
absolutely,
and we're going to keep going.
Excellent. Yeah, well, thank you so much. We'll have you on again.
Yay.
All right, I'm going to stop recording. Thank you so much for listening today. If you like what you've heard, please make sure that you subscribe. Also, leave a 5-star review. If you didn't like it, you know, leave a 5-star review and then tell me what you didn't like about it. Whatever you need to do. Take what you need, leave the rest. If you have any questions, you can always reach out to me through Instagram at Evelyn Marley. You can find my website, evelynmarleycoaching.com. I also have a Mindful Journeys coaching group if you'd like to be a part of that as well. Other than that, I hope you have a wonderful day and stay tuned for the next guest that I will be having. And yeah, stay twisted. Thanks.
Thank you for joining us. Tune in next time and remember, stay twisted.